And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go.
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always. We're here to talk some rookie mock drafts. Yet again, new week, new guest. We're going to be doing a one quarterback rookie mock draft again today. Before we do that, we have some, you know, signings, a little bit of movement here in the player world as free agency is in full swing since the last episode on Tuesday. But before we dive into those, let's introduce who we got with us today. A new FTN, what we call, not really alum, he'd be an FTN creator as well alongside me, Colin McTaminy. Colin, great to have you on. Pleasure to be working alongside you now as well. We talked a little bit in the before the thing as far as talking at the expo, about 8 months ago now. So,
yeah,
you know, we talked about it. We got to know each other, and now we get to work alongside each other. So I'm excited about that. You can find Colin on X at Colin_MCT. And as well, obviously, the work is over at FTN Fantasy. Colin, how are you doing today? It's a fine Thursday evening.
It is a fine Thursday evening. What I would do for some Thursday night football right now, but, alas, we are sitting here. We do get to talk football. And I actually was just looking before we hopped on here, totally non-football related, but maybe. But there is a blood moon tonight, something with the moon and Venus. The moon's going to turn red. And I think shortly thereafter, Aaron Rodgers is going to sign. So that's what we're expecting. The stars are going to align.
Hey, it seems like, I don't know, I saw the Vikings might want him. And apparently they don't want J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. You know, they're going to move Sam Darnold for Rodgers after, honestly, Rodgers played way worse than Sam Darnold last year. So feels like a very backwards move. I'd rather just say, J.J., here's the keys to the kingdom. But what do I know? That's why I'm talking here and I don't run the Minnesota Vikings, right? You know, I feel like I could maybe the Carolina Panthers. I feel like we could do that, right?
Yeah, Panthers, I mean, there's at least one organization that should be fan run or something.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. You know, like the Packers are basically fan owned. You know, we could just, you know, we'll create an expansion team that is just, you know, fan owned in the whatever realm they pick theirs.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about some signings though, Colin. We gotta talk about it. All right, we big one, probably the biggest one would be Evan Engram to Denver. We're going to start the list backwards, sorry. But Evan Engram to Denver, that's probably the most impactful fantasy signing, as well as, honestly, this quarterback, this rookie mock draft, because a lot of people were expecting Denver to take a tight end. Doesn't mean they still won't. But Evan Engram lands in Denver here, a pretty good opportunity for him to kind of continue what he did in Jacksonville. Obviously not too much of a proven receiving threat in that receiving room outside of Cortland Sutton. Mims had his time last year. Franklin kind of really disappointed. So do you like Evan Engram to Denver? I think it's a decent spot. Again, I think for tight end, probably going to continue to be at least a top 10 option for sure, especially with how Bo Nix played last year. And even with a little bit of regression from Bo Nix potentially, I still think that he's going to be able to get the ball enough to Evan Engram, and I think Sean Payton can scheme him open. The biggest question, I think, Colin, would be, do they add somebody in the draft, and does that eat into Evan Engram, and we see a little bit of a split work? Or do you think this is kind of Evan Ingram's Engram show, and it kind of tells us Denver's probably not taking a tight end in round one?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. Love being on here talking ball on a Thursday night. But I actually, one of my first pieces, I think my first piece for FTN was ideal landing spots for tight ends, which is kind of cool. We get to talk about this. I wrote specifically about Evan Engram, who got cut the night before my article was due, that he would fit great on a team that has a incoming rookie quarterback or a second year quarterback. I had him going to the Patriots with Drake May. You know, if you can't land the hot name on the wide receiver market, maybe you go get Evan Engram, someone who's had over 100 targets in three different seasons in the NFL. Definitely helped Trevor Lawrence in his second season when he joined the Jacksonville Jaguars. So now joining Bo Nix, I think it's nothing but good news because, like you said, their receiving corps isn't very proven. We haven't seen a ton yet. As much of a fan as I am of Marvin Mims, he doesn't get on the field a ton. Maybe we'll see that more in 2025, but As of right now, it's Courtland Sutton, who's, I think, 30 years old, has 1 year left. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. It seemed like Evan Engram was choosing between the Broncos and the Chargers, and it seems like the Broncos and the Chargers were the top two spots, perhaps with the Colts as being the third, maybe landing a tight end in the first round. So this, I think Denver actually picks after all, third of those three teams. So maybe they look at it and say, hey, someone like Tyler Warren is going to go to the Colts, maybe even the Jets in the top 10. Colston Loveland, I'm sure we'll talk about him later. There's a Michigan connection there with Jim Harbaugh in LA. Maybe he goes there. And they said, you know what, let's just go get Evan Engram, proven pass catcher, and he's going to help this receiving core.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of teams, a lot of stuff that gets overlooked, which we'll talk about here with some of these other players that get signed. Some of these signings are never actually like the end solution for some of these players, especially right. a few days into free agency. These are teams that are kind of like, here's a player we're comfortable with, but this is in case we don't get the player we want in the draft. And then they could see a better kind of impact. I like it for Engram. Like you said, I think that he's going to be a good safety blanket for Bo Nix. We've seen him over the last few years be highly targeted and produce very good fantasy numbers. And that's what we're looking for when we're targeting those tight ends. You want that secondary to third potential option if it's a heavy pass attack, opposed to, you know, one of those guys that's in the crowded area. We saw that. I talked about it a little bit on some of these other episodes where, like, it's the Sam Laporta effect. Like, Sam Laporta was great. He was the secondary target in his rookie season, exploded. In his second season, you know, Jameson Williams kind of started to explode. Jahmyr Gibbs really hit the ground running, and Laporta kind of fell to the wayside. It was harder to trust him. So in Denver, Engram, without any additions, if they don't add, say, a receiver in round one now, you know, maybe he still has that ability to be what it is. So I'm in on it. Dynasty, it's a little tough to go out and try and grab him just because of the age. If you're a contender and you can get him for a second round, like you, maybe you were runner up last year. So it's 211. Like, I'm fine giving that up for Evan Engram, but not a ton more. So
I will say Sean Payton at the combine said he's looking for that joker position for his offense. And Evan Engram about an hour or two ago, tweeted out a GIF of Heath Ledger's Joker hanging out of a cop car, you know, from The Dark Knight. So
I don't, you know what, if I'm being honest, I could see him taking Tyler Warren still. Like, Tyler Warren's Taysom Hill, and like Sean Payton could roll with that. And like Ingram's there, like Juwan Johnson or something like that. Right. You know, it could get real messy.
It's easy to get excited right now, but we do have to see what they do for sure.
Right. All right. Less exciting signings. Some backups in the next two with Mac Jones going to San Francisco, the great memes out there, even Scheffner getting a little bit of the jab in there as far as, you know, Shanahan finally getting Mac Jones. So probably no real fantasy value here. Make a note of it. I mean, super flex, maybe it's worth kind of stashing him on the bench, a good system if Brock Purdy does get hurt. And we also saw Khalil Herbert end up in Indianapolis. Curious, Colin, do you really take much stock in Khalil Herbert here? Obviously, it's Jonathan Taylor's backfield, but Khalil Herbert maybe is a pretty solid handcuff. I think he could probably beat out Trey Sermon as far as the actual true secondary option if they don't add anybody else. Are you looking to add Khalil Herbert, or just kind of he's a decent toss in a trade or something to that effect?
Yeah, I think right now what I'm trying to do on my dynasty rosters, depending on how competitive you are, is check your bench and check to see if you have any of these players like a Khalil Herbert. If he's on your bench, go see who has Jonathan Taylor. And maybe reach out to them and say, hey, I've got your new handcuff for Jonathan Taylor, especially if they're a contender. You might be able to steal a third round pick from them. I don't know how many rounds, you know, people draft in nowadays, sometimes four, sometimes even five. But it might be worth throwing in Khalil Herbert in a trade where you can just move up from your pick in the draft. So really, he's only valuable in my mind to the Jonathan Taylor manager. But, you know, we've seen Jonathan Taylor deal with injuries in the past. So Khalil Herbert could have some value this year, but it's really hard to predict that. When he went to Cincinnati last year, I think everyone got excited. I don't think anyone was really that much of a believer in Chase Brown at that point. Khalil Herbert's first carry with the Bengals, he fumbled. So we still have this idea in our mind that Khalil Herbert is good. I think he's only 26, so there's still hope there, but it doesn't really move the needle for him as a player, you know, too much for me.
I agree. I'm not really looking to go get him. If I got him, I'm really not. Maybe that, like you said, maybe you try to toss a trade out there, but I'm not like actually shopping him either. Like you said, JT's had a pretty extensive injury history of the last few seasons. And if he gets a full shot or even a split touch, you know, there's potential to have some viable weeks in there, especially if you're a contender that can come handy, because more times than not, even in Dynasty, you know, having it, the depth and the waiver wire ads can help you win some championships. So Raheem Mostert potentially to the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know if I saw that was fully official. I saw that. I think he mentioned he was going to sign there from the report that I saw on X. So I don't know if I've seen a full confirmation on that, but it sounds pretty likely. Interesting to say the least. I still think they're in play for a running back in the draft, but you know, he kind of revives some fantasy value at this point in time. You know, once he was cut, you probably thought, you could probably move off from him from your dynasty rosters. Hopefully you didn't, because I think he's a player you're not going to be able to trade, I don't think, but still probably worth holding on to if you roster him. Do you agree?
Yeah, he's turning 33 in less than 33 days. He only has 850 total career carries since 2015. Some people that just got to know Raheem Mostert in the last couple of years with that breakout in 2023, actually, you know, don't realize that he was an undrafted free agent in 2015. Chip Kelly, I might add. So maybe there's some familiarity there going to Las Vegas. But again, I think they're trying to set a culture in Las Vegas. Raheem Mostert, seasoned vet. I think he's brought in to do that. Listen, he had 18 touchdowns in 2023 and just over 1,000 yards. Not a ton of juice with Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, I think it's a nice depth sign, like you said, a veteran kind of build that culture. And let's be honest, Samir White, Alexander Mattison, and it just wasn't it. So Sincere I don't think McCormick. Sincere McCormick, as much as it was a fun story, it's not going to be much long term there in Las Vegas for any of those guys. The interesting one, though, Rico Dowdle added to Carolina's backfield. Now it's an even more mess. They at least got rid of Miles Sanders amongst this, but now you got Rico. Jonathan Brooks likely missing 2025 anyways. We kind of already expected that with that injury, late season ACL injury again. Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle. Do you think this is really a big deal for Chuba? Do you think Rico has enough value in here? Or do you think this is just going to be a muddied mess now that we're kind of in a full void here for fantasy?
You know, they paid Chuba Hubbard during the season last year, and I think that's significant. Jonathan Brooks having his second ACL tear in less than 2 years. We're not going to see him next year. I don't expect to see him. We didn't really even see him last year. So when they signed Rico Dowdle, it was actually just the second running back added to their roster behind Chuba Hubbard. So they needed to bring in somebody. The money isn't too significant. I believe it's a $3 million base value upwards to six. So if Chuba goes down, Rico can step into a larger role, but somewhat similar to Mostert, a lot of Rico Dowdle's career work was last year. It was a true breakout, but still just over 1,000 yards, only two rushing touchdowns. He punished teams late in the season, like the Panthers, actually, career high 149 yards. I still don't really know if Rico Dowdle is a great player. I really just think he is a high quality handcuff to Chuba Hubbard. So if Rico Dowdle's 2024 season scares people off of drafting Chuba Hubbard in 2025, I'm going to have a lot of Chuba Hubbard this year.
Yeah, maybe we'll get the same discount we got last year. Unlikely, but maybe.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we got. Not too much going on over the last few days. That's overly exciting for us here on the fantasy side of it. So let's get into the one quarterback mock draft here. I'm going to start us off here. Pretty simple. All right. I'm going to share the screen up on here. We're going to drop this overlay. Let's get rid of technical difficulties. There it goes. We'll add this. All right. We're going to go with dark mode today. If you've watched these in the past or you're listening and can't see it, we were usually on light mode. I'll go darker, change it up a little bit. All right. So, Colin, I'm going to go first just because it's chalk and like no matter what format you're in, this year, it's pretty much Ashton Jeanty 1-1, unless you want to jump on 1-1 and tell me that I'm crazy and you're going to go somewhere else.
No, I will say, though, before we actually get to talk to these players, I was listening to your last mock draft with Pete Nova as the guest, And I'm one of those guys that listens to podcasts while I'm in the gym. And I heard the sleeper notification while on the recording. And I don't know if this is unhealthy or not, but I was like, oh my God, am I in a draft right now? What is going on? I had to check my phone. So
I tried turning them off. Maybe they were, maybe it wasn't off. I don't know. I turned it off on the thing. So maybe it comes through and I don't know, but.
Yeah, I just had to check if I was on the clock or not, but it's
you
good
forgot
to get
you started
and,
that dynasty startup.
Yeah, right. Did I enter a league I didn't know about? Yeah, but yeah, it's Ashton Jeanty. This is complete chalk. I guess my question I have for you is obviously there's a lot of speculation of where he's going to go in the draft. 6 to the Raiders, 10 to the Bears. Is there a spot in the first round? Because we're expecting him to go in the first round. Obviously, like we don't expect him to fall to pick 32 to my Philadelphia Eagles with Saquon there or something like that. Is there a spot where he could end up realistically that if he were to end up there, you'd say, ooh, I have some questions about him going first overall? Or is he really just, you know, team proof, I guess, at this point?
I feel like if you really ran into like a heavy perimeter zone team, I think he'd struggle a little bit. So I guess if you went that route potentially, but I feel like the rest of the class isn't strong enough to push him out of here in a super flex potentially. But unlikely. I think I'm still taking the risk. I know he's a little bit, yeah. I've mentioned it even like, I mean, he is a little undersized for that like prototypical workhorse type back.
Yeah.
He's close to the Jahmyr Gibbs type of size, but doesn't play like Jahmyr Gibbs. So the question I have, at least for him coming into the NFL, is like, can his physical style play hold up against a continuation of like, you know, 6'2", 220-pound linebackers and 300-pound defensive linemen constantly hitting him, which he wasn't facing in the Mountain West. But yeah, I mean, he's just so far ahead to me as far as the rest of the players go. I think some of the running backs are close, but it feels like he's still that one kind of step ahead. So I'm not going to try to, you know, prospect fatigue it here with Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
Like I said, a little bit of concern about his size, but I'm still, the risk is well worth the reward here. Just taking him at one, it just feels the safest prospect for me. So.
Yeah, I feel like we've just been hearing his name for so long that maybe some people are starting to see these other running backs and, you know, some subconscious thoughts creeping in their head of maybe, do I really need to spend the first overall pick? What would it take for you to trade back, maybe even say to 2? Because I'm, you know, a little foreshadow here. I'm going to take Omarion Hampton here at number 2. What would it take for you to drop back to 2 if someone at 2 really, really wanted Ashton Jeanty?
Not too much,
right?
I mean, honestly,
I don't think the gap's that big.
I've actually mentioned it a couple times in the FTN Discord. It's not at 1. There's some players at like, some of the guys in the Discord are at like 2 or 3, and I said the same thing of like, I would easily trade down from 3 to like that 5-6 range, pick up another pick, whether that's a second next year, a third this year, or even a late second this year, something else, or even maybe an asset to move back, because I feel like once you hit Hampton, Judkins, Henderson, Caleb Johnson is pretty close. Like these guys are not that far apart. And at least as it sits today in a vacuum, they're very close. Mm-hmm. You get into landing spots. That's where it's going to start to kind of, I think, unmuddy this a touch, but I definitely would be, I'm a fan of trading back. I love Ashton Jeanty. I do. But if I'm at 1-1, my roster's probably pretty far from competing unless I manage to get 1-1 in a trade and I won the league, or I'm like a team 8 that like just happened to make a good deal and ended up with the first pick, then I'm taking them for sure. But if I'm 1-1, I need more than just Ashton Jeanty to turn my team around more than likely. So I would be fine trading back, but into a spot that I can still potentially get Hampton, Judkins, one of those players, and then also get myself some assets to help in that rebuild process a little bit faster.
Yeah, I think that's always the question when the number one pick is projected to be a running back, is that, well, your team's the number one pick because your team was probably bad last year. Is drafting a running back really going to elevate you over the next, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years to the point where you'll be competitive then? And for a lot of people, depending on how you build your teams, it's no. So maybe trading back is in the realm of possibilities for you, even though you are giving up that big name. But to pivot to Omarion Hampton here, I expect him to go in the first round of the NFL draft. Couple teams that I would really love to see him on. I don't think going anywhere specifically is going to vault him ahead of Ashton Jeanty. But again, if you wanted to trade back because you loved where he went, team like the Vikings stands out to me because Aaron Jones did sign a 2-year deal, but it's really a 1-year deal based on the guaranteed money. So if he ends up there, you know, running behind Aaron Jones, and listen, Aaron Jones is 30. That's a spot I would love to see Hampton. And he just feels like a complete back here. I've had some time to look at him over the past couple weeks. I don't really dive into the rookies until really the NFL playoffs is when I start to take that time, just because there's less content, less games to watch. I can really start to focus in on these rookies. But Hampton just feels like a complete back. I know, again, don't scout the helmet, scout the player. UNC maybe isn't the best program. You know, Bill Belichick's going there now. But really, really like Omarion Hampton. I think he's my lock at number two. A second overall player in this rookie class.
Yeah, I like that. He's my running back too at the moment. Like you said, pretty complete player. Isn't the most elusive. Does things pretty well though to kind of counteract that. Had some benefits. I mean, North Carolina's offensive line played pretty solid throughout the year.
Right.
And North Carolina's had a pretty good track record of decent NFL running backs. And I think Javonte Williams would have been much better had he not, shattered his knee into about 1,000 pieces. So, yeah, I like Omarion Hampton here. I'm going to go with Tet McMillan. It's kind of a player that I think should be somewhere in here. It's close. The wide receiver group is very, very close when you really start to break it down. Tet McMillan probably has the highest upside. You can argue with the fluidity and the size that he possesses. Has been very productive at Arizona. So I'm in on it. I still think that there's a ton of upside here. He has the yak ability similar. He doesn't play exactly like Drake London. Drake London is a little bit more polished of a route runner than Tet McMillan is when they were coming out. But I do think that he can definitely develop into a more consistent polished route runner in the intermediate area, which would really then propel him into that territory of talking into that Drake London type of prospect area. So I'm in on it. I just think that he has the highest upside compared to kind of those gadget. They're not gadget, but like kind of more role specific players in Luther Burden and Amik Buka. So I'm here. I haven't fully jumped on the Michael or on the shoot. Wow. My brain just totally went blank. It is Michael Gordon or oh my God, Golden. Matt Jeez Golden. Louise, don't mind me, Matt Golden. See, I can't even think right now. Holy cow. Don't mind me. But yes, that player. Yeah, I'm just not fully in on that train yet. I know Daniel Jeremiah has him as potentially his top wide receiver. I'm not there yet. I think Tet McMillan still is the highest upside and the most ready player for me in this draft at receiver.
Yeah, I think so too. It's interesting how large of a range we have though for Tet McMillan. I've seen him mocked down, you know, closer to pick 20, but I've also seen him number 4 to the Patriots. So it's really interesting. I think a lot of that has changed since free agency. I think we'll get a little bit more clarity, hopefully soon, you know, with the top 4 picks specifically, when Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, we get some idea maybe on Travis Hunter and what he's going to be doing. We'll talk about him soon, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But someone like Matthew Golden's interesting to me because Daniel Jeremiah, like you said, is saying, you know, oh, he ran a 4.28. I didn't have him in the first, but I think now he's going to get drafted in the first. How much does draft capital mean for this wide receiver class to you? Because I really, really like Luther Burden. But I feel like I'm going to feel pressured to take Ibuka here, which I am, because I do expect him to go in the first round. So I'm going to do that. And listen, I'm not getting the worst player, I don't think, compared to Burden. They're very different. Ibuka could end up somewhere, just a high volume role, 2 seasons of over 1,000 yards, you know, in college, another over 900 yards. I really, really like the player, but Luther Burden in the second round of the NFL draft, maybe high second, maybe, I don't know, later in the second. I'm not really sure where his draft stock is right now. Could go in the first, but how much is draft capital going to mean for this wide receiver class?
I think it's going to, the on the surface, it's going to push players up. It always does. You see it like Xavier Legette. You saw Treylon Burks. You name it. It helps push it. It helps cement kind of biases that we've already created prior to the draft. Typically, though, if you have a player that goes in the first two rounds, it's interchangeable to me in round one and round two, just because of the skill positions aren't always as prevalent in round one. So I'm fine if they're in the second round. If they're falling to the third, they're probably going to fall a little bit. Still a viable spot. They're not done by being drafted in the third round, but it's hard to make the argument for a player taken in the third round over, say, Amika Buka at like 15. You know, like, it's hard to make that case because, yes, we saw what we saw, but the NFL saw something else, and all these players have to. The main thing that I like to preach, at least for prospects, is you want to see them be coachable. The coachable players are the ones that can kind of surprise you. You know, the Puka Nacuas, the Josh Allens, the Amon-Ra St. Browns. Like, these players, there was a reason they were drafted where they were, because teams didn't totally believe in what was there, but they were coachable. They improved, they got better, and that's what you're looking for. Heavily. So if it's a player that you still believe can kind of get to that area, because they were taken in the second round, doesn't mean that they're completely washed as far as the value goes, at least for me. So I like Amika Buka here at four. I have them in this order: Tet McMillan, Nick Buka, and then we're just going to keep this rolling here. I have Luther Burden here as well. I like it, Luther Burden. I think his issues this past season were not totally his fault. Everybody, obviously, there's some fault to it in his own right, but it wasn't all his fault. He didn't have control of the offensive play calling. He didn't have control of the quarterback issues, etc. So for me, I still believe in what Luther Burden gave us as a junior and as a freshman. So I think the talent's there for Luther Burden. I think that he can play either inside or outside. Preliminary, he played inside for most of it for Missouri, but I do think that he can be positionally versatile and be kind of moved around the formation. The Z probably fits better for him at the NFL level, but I think if he lands in the right spot with the right coaching staff, he's going to be able to be moved around, and I definitely am all in on it. You hate to say like the Rams, but like the Rams with Puka Nacua, where you're able to kind of move those players around, kind of a Cooper Kupp type of role somewhere in some type of offense. I think that there's a lot of value here for Luther Burden just because what he brings after the catch. So I'm still in on it. I know a lot of people are down on him. I still personally think that he's should be here. And arguably, like you said, depending on landing spot, could easily jump, honestly, both of these players for me.
Yeah. It's that yak ability, the speed, but, you know, I think the knock against him for a lot of people is when you're just looking at the numbers this past season, it's going to deter a lot of people. Why are people so in on this guy? Well, it's because you just have to watch him play. He's a really exciting player. But, yeah, I think landing spot is going to have maybe the biggest impact on him, you know, among the top 3 to 5 wide receivers in your rookie drafts. We could see Luther Burden drop. I mean, I remember last year, most people were drafting Brian Thomas Jr. late because Neighbors was, you know, this, you know, the top receiver on LSU. But if you watch Brian Thomas Jr. play, you knew what kind of player you were getting. And, you know, a lot of people aren't too high on Jacksonville or Trevor Lawrence, but it was a good landing spot. And guess what? He went in the first round. But rookie drafts, I think people were getting him 9, 10, 11 in one QB leagues at some point. So Luther Burden could be that kind of player depending where he ends up. Might not be the best spot, but you know, at face value, but he's a really good player. I think he has a really high ceiling in the NFL. Where are we at? Six?
We are at six.
Yeah. Are we doing tight end premium? I'm sure. I know you get that question a lot. Did we decide on that or not? I think if we are, this is probably a good spot with Warren.
Yeah, I didn't mention it, but sure. Let's roll with it.
Yeah, let's do tight end premium. I'm going to go Tyler Warren here then at six. I expect him to be the first tight end off the board. Really productive, really just prototypical size athleticism for a tight end. Good with the ball. Quietly, Penn State has, you know, really produced some good NFL tight ends. Pat Freiermuth, You know, we got Brenton Strange maybe coming up in Jacksonville. Tyler Warren's the next one here. So I'm excited about Tyler Warren. I don't really care where he goes, but I do think the Colts is an obvious spot. But then you look at the quarterback, and I think it's important to remember, you know, we said the same thing about Brock Bowers last year. Who's the quarterback in Las Vegas? Tyler Warren might end up on the Jets, might end up on the Colts. Really high draft capital in the first round, similarly to Brock Bowers. And, you know, I'm not comparing the two players, but maybe situationally, just, you know, where they get drafted and the situation they're in. I'm going to be in on Tyler Warren. I don't think his quarterback situation in year one is going to be forever, just like now Brock Bowers has Geno Smith thrown to him. So trying to believe in the player before I see what their first year situation is. It's kind of as simple as that for me.
Yeah, especially at tight end, it's not a one-year death sentence by any mean, but the Jets would be very nice. Yes. Get rid of all the receivers. You know, that's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields loved Cole Kmet, so Tyler Warren could be. If it's the Jets, I would prefer the Jets.
The Colts did just sign Stone Smart today, I saw.
He's dosed. Stone Smart's taking it.
Stone Smart with two T's at the end.
Remember, it's over. Yep, it's over for Tyler Warren. No. 1-7. I'm going to go Quinshon Judkins. I haven't seen enough probably since the combine as far as I don't know if anybody's really pushed him this high yet. It's a player I've had pretty high in my rankings from the beginning. I know we didn't see that necessarily explosive speed from him at Ohio State this past year, and the numbers weren't super great because he was splitting touches with an equally talented Travion Henderson. So people I feel like are a little bit down on him, but they have to remember that he shredded the SEC while he was at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And then the strong combine was not a surprise to me. It was a surprise, I feel like, to some because we saw him get pushed up in some people's rankings. I think he's a lock, almost honestly, potentially even for Vegas in the second round. He has the body build and the size and has proven to be a workhorse runner in the SEC, which means you can likely do it at the NFL level. And if he does end up in Las Vegas, I would be all in on it. I'm sure it would push him up as well for most people if that's where he ends up. But so maybe I hope he doesn't go there. But either way, I'm definitely in on Quinshon Judkins. So getting him this late would be ideal if this is how it folds out for me.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked he transferred to Ohio State. I wonder where he would have gone if he declared out of Ole Miss in that rookie draft. And Travion Henderson also elected to stay after Quinshon Judkins said he was transferring. So that was really interesting to me too. I'm going to take teammate Travion Henderson here. They're very different players at the same time, you know, that they were on the same offense, but it's kind of a coin flip for me as far as where I value them. I am going to be looking at the landing spot. I'm actually very much in the camp too, that one of these guys is going to be playing for former offensive coordinator Chip Kelly from Ohio State, who is now with the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't think they're going to take Gentry at 6. I know a lot of people are pushing for that. A report came out today and actually said that, but I do think they need more than just a good running back, and they can get one of these guys with pick 38 in the second round. So that's kind of what I am expecting. Whoever does go there, I am going to move up my board, maybe a pick or two. But Travion Henderson, home run hitter. But I do think Judkins kind of fits in that offense a little bit better, more of a three down workhorse role. Travion Henderson may be maybe better paired, almost like how David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs are on the Detroit Lions backfield. If he could find somewhere that works for him to do that, might deter some people. Similarly to, I know we're making a lot of comparisons here, but you know, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet ended up in the same backfield that was kind of messy, but Travion Henderson kind of brings a different element to a backfield that I think he could coexist with someone. So excited to see where he goes, but I do have him in my top four running backs, and now they're all off the board. So kind of chalky.
Yeah, I agree with Henderson. I feel like Henderson staying was a kind of a proving point as well to what he can be at the NFL level. Like you said, he feels more like a paired player, like a, like a Ken Walker to Charbonnet, the Jahmyr Gibbs to David Montgomery, the, you know, Bucky Irving or Rashad White type of deal where you have two viable running backs and they can both be productive because one has the explosivity and the other one may be like a touchdown guy. So I'm curious to see where Henderson goes. He has proven that three down ability before as a freshman at Ohio State, but I think at the NFL, he profiles better as a split touch type of guy. So that's the only reason I have Judkins ahead of him, just because I feel like Judkins can still be a three down guy. He has enough speed, has enough of a pass catching ability to be on the field on third downs. So landing spot will be huge. Like if Judkins go to a spot that he's split touching, like it might not be as great. You know, maybe I prefer Henderson then. So like you said, kind of splitting hairs here.
I don't really care who goes before the other. If Travion Henderson gets drafted in the late first and Quinshon Judkins goes to the Raiders, you know, early second, I still might be more in on Judkins at that point. So kind of have to see what happens there.
I'm going to go with Travis Hunter here at nine. I still am here with him. I feel like this is a pretty comfortable spot. I would take him. Most of my teams at 9, 10, 11, 12 are pretty solid. Maybe I had an injury or two, and that's why I didn't win it all. Maybe I just ran into a juggernaut in the playoffs, and I can take that ability to risk it. I think hopefully we get better clarity on draft day on who drafts him. Is he primarily a wide receiver or is he primarily a corner? If you get primarily corner, he falls out of here. Like, I'm not going to risk it that much. But if we say he's 50-50, I'd probably still risk it here. Maybe a couple players go ahead of him depending on landing spots. But personally, I think he's potentially even the top wide receiver. If he said, I'm playing wide receiver, I'd probably say he's one, if not 1B to Tet McMillan for me. So at nine, you know, as wide receiver four, I'm okay taking the risk here. Like I said, he's very close just because of that split touch stuff to players like Trey Harris, Matthew Golden, etc. So it's close, but I'm going to take that risk just because I think the upside's really high if he does end up playing more receiver than corner.
Yeah, I'm looking at the teams in the top five of the NFL draft right now, and they all could use wide receivers. So it's hard to imagine he goes somewhere specifically to be a cornerback. I mean, he's made it very well known he's playing wide receiver. So any of those top five teams that draft him, I think you are going to see him play wide receiver. It's really just how much you get. But hey, if you have multiple first round picks in your rookie draft, you know, I'm not saying you should take Travis Hunter third overall because you have pick 112 later. But if he's still there at 112 or, you know, like you have him here at 109. Yeah. If you have multiple first round picks, throw that. I know it's a first round dart, but throw that dart at him. You might get the best wide receiver in this class.
100%.
Where are we at here? 10. I'm going to take Trey Harris. Speaking of wide receivers, I'm not taking Colson Loveland just because I took Tyler Warren. So I know tight end premium Colson Loveland could probably go here. But I really like Trey Harris, the player, really good route runner, good speed, good after the catch. I do think he could get drafted higher than people think he will. I know there's a very wishy-washy, you know, viewpoint on Ole Miss receivers. You know, obviously we have the AJ Brown and the DK Metcalfs of the world. We also have Elijah Moore and, Jonathan Mingo, who's, you know, a big talking point nowadays. So I'm trying to ignore, you know, any sort of narrative there and just kind of look at how he plays the game. And I really do think he's a great route runner. I think he, again, is going to get drafted higher than people think. And I think he can be a wide receiver one on some very specific teams. So it kind of depends where he goes there. Maybe I'll move him down a couple picks or maybe I'll take him, you know, top 10 in the first round of a rookie draft.
Yeah, I'm a Trey Harris lover. I'm all in on Trey Harris. I think that nobody should be knocking him for the helmet scouting. You know, the Jonathan Mingo thing never made sense to me. I was like, never. Like, I didn't even have him, I think, in my top 50 last year. Like, even like the only reason he made it was post combine because everybody was like, oh my God, he's going to get drafted so high. And I was like, guess I got to put him in here. But I'm like, he's not, he's like a super senior that had to be schemed open. Like, yeah, he's athletically talented, but like, he's not that good, which proved to be. But Trey Harris, the opposite side, I think he's very good. A little bit of an elder statesman when it comes to the collegiate ranks, but I'm in on it. Like you said, I could see him sneaking into the back half of the first round. So like you said, landing spot dependent, but I'm in on it there as well. Probably would have been if Hunter was off, I would have taken Harris where I took Travis Hunter. Here at 111, I'm going to go with Caleb Johnson. It's a player that I like the tape. Don't love the tape. I feel like I saw some things that are a little bit concerning going to the NFL level. Really going to be pretty kind of scheme dependent for me with Caleb Johnson and landing spot dependent. So a lot to see here for him. I like the size. I like that he kind of came to Iowa and changed the way he plays. He was a little bit more undersized, speedier, kind of scat back almost arriving at Iowa. He took that to heart, put on some weight, and kind of became a little bit more, is really crafting his power side to his game. It's not fully there just yet, but can hold his own. So I'm in on it. I think that it could be a decent player depending on where he goes. I just think he's kind of a step down from the other four that we talked about already.
Yeah, I was really hoping to see him run a little faster at the combine. I don't put too much weight into it, but I expectations versus reality got me a little good there with Caleb Johnson. And we're really splitting hairs here when we're talking about his speed. I still think he can be a three down back at the next level. Mm-hmm. Just kind of depends where he ends up. I do think it's important, though, with this running back class, speaking of expectations and reality, I think everyone is so hyped up about these running backs. You know, the order in which they're drafted, I'll say it again. I do expect a lot of them on the first 2 days. We didn't see Jonathan Brooks go the first running back off the board last year until early to mid second round to the Panthers, obviously. And Bucky Irving ended up being the best, but we already knew that about that running back class. There was a lot of really good guys. Nobody truly, truly remarkable standing out here. So draft capital here, when you're making the argument for these running backs after the draft to say that, well, he had second round draft capital, that might be true for like five guys. So, Caleb Johnson could be included in that. So, I would expect him to go on day two. If he goes on day three, the league might be telling us something. I don't expect that, but, you know, the first three rounds, I think are going to be full of running backs. Might have to take a step back and really analyze their situation. The first four years of their career. But I do really like him. I hope he ends up somewhere where he can actually get a shot to lead a backfield. I will round us out here with the 12th pick. I'll go Colson Loveland. We can't end a tight end premium first round without both of these guys in here. I like him a lot. I do really think he's going to end up with the Los Angeles Chargers. I know last year we all hyped ourselves up that Blake Corum was going to get drafted by Jim Harbaugh. That Michigan connection. I do think there is something there with Colson Loveland. He's only 21 or turned 21 in April, right before the draft. So really young, talented player. I think he's going to be really good at the next level. I think we're going to be talking about Warren and Loveland for a very long time. We've been waiting for multiple players at the tight end position to kind of save the tight end position in fantasy football. And there have definitely been some guys, you know, emerge. Laporta. We've had a little bit of success from those Green Bay guys. Obviously Brock Bowers last year, but I think we're going to be talking about Warren and Loveland for a while because I do think they are the top two of this rookie class at their position. Then we have, you know, Fannin, Arroyo, a couple other guys, but I really think these two stand out. And I think the league's going to tell us that they're going to go in the first round.
I agree. It's a deep class, much like the running back class. They're deep classes. They're just not as good, I think, as like they're being forecasted. Like they're good. Sure. I just don't think you have like the Brock Bowers in the tight end class. Right. And you don't have like Bijan Robinson in the running back class. They're all very capable NFL starters to above average and could probably develop into more than that. But they're just solid throughout. And I think that's where you're going to see a lot of them go. And I think Loveland and Warren are a step ahead of, like you said, Fannin, Arroyo, Ferguson, Mason Taylor, etc. And I do think Loveland to the Chargers could make some sense. The Chargers did add Najee Harris. To me, what they're saying a little bit there is it's a Greg Roman has ran a running back by committee for years, going back to, you know, Baltimore, San Francisco, etc. Wherever he's been, he's kind of been kind of running some of those, you know, two back type of committees. And Najee Harris to me says, hey, we're out in the round one. We're going to go ahead and add somebody a little bit later to complement our Najee Harris here, at least in year one. So I think to me, the Colson Loveland should gain some steam there to the Chargers probably in the first round, potentially at tight end, because they need pass catchers. We saw it last year. We were hoping for it with Joe when they took Joe Alt over Malik Nabers, etc. And you know, it just seems like they need some type of playmakers. And we've seen the tight ends flourish under Roman's offense as well. We saw some Stone Smart kids, you know, a little bit of hype there at the end of the year for the Chargers. So Loveland makes a lot of sense here for the Chargers potentially. And if he does, he deserves definitely to be in this discussion here in the first round of your rookie drafts as well. All right, Colin, let's drop this screen. We'll pop us back up here. Outside of those players we took here, we're going to get out of here in a minute. But outside those players, who's a player that we didn't take? If you can't remember who we took, I can pull it back up. But who's a player that we didn't take? Maybe it could be even third round type of player that you feel like is a player you really want to get in on as far as fantasy goes. Blank slate. You don't know where they're going, obviously. But maybe that late round guy that you really feel like I need to have a piece of him no matter where he goes sort of situation.
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I'm going to try not to talk about these running backs because there's so many, but I really do love Cam Scataboo. I'm excited to see where he ends up. I just think he's a fun player. It'll be interesting to see if he ends up somewhere where he's actually going to get a shot as well to have a prominent role, or is he just going to kind of be a complimentary piece to a backfield? Jaden Higgins, I know Pete Nova talked about him on the last pod. Really, really like Jaden Higgins. But the player that stands out to me that if he's in the right spot, I'm going to have a lot of him in my rookie drafts is Xavier Restrepo. Cam Ward's top guy in Miami. He's actually the all-time leading receiver in Miami U history. Really just a true slot receiver, which I know isn't the like best position for fantasy football because they sometimes have trouble getting on the field. But if he ends up somewhere that runs a ton of 11 personnel and you know, has already established receivers there, he could be an absolute weapon for a certain offense. The Rams stick out to me. I know they just got Devontae Adams. They have Puka Nacua. If he ends up on the Rams, I'm going to love that landing spot for him. The Bears as well, getting rid of Keenan Allen, could be another weapon there. He might not get taken to like round three, maybe even later. But I just think he is a filthy route runner, just a really strong guy. He didn't do anything at the combine, but bench press, I don't think. But he had 17 reps. I know, again, you know, we're not grading guys on bench reps there. But for a slot guy to put up 17 reps, 225, strong physical player in the slot, could just be a total mismatch problem. So I really, really like him as is. But there's a couple spots, Bears, Rams specifically. I talked about them on my Twitter page, actually, a couple of weeks ago. But if he ends up there, I'm really going to love that for him.
Yeah, Restrepo is not an exciting player to watch.
I've
been watching the Miami tape this last week with Cam Ward, etc. He's not flashy. Even the pro day numbers aren't going to be great. I'm going to tell you right now, I bet you they're not going to come in great. But like you said, he's a physical guy. He's a good route runner. He has good body control. He is pretty good as far as going up and getting the ball, even though he's kind of more of a slot guy, he still attacks it. So there's a lot to like about Restrepo. It's just like analytically, and when they start to see the data, like the numbers aren't going to totally be there, like for like the RAS score and stuff like that, I'm sure. But he is a player that's interesting. I think he's going to kind of be like the Khalil Shakir of this class, where he's a player that had a ton of production, probably should have got drafted higher than he should have went, just because the athletic testing wasn't there, and will end up being a pretty productive player. For fantasy, it's going to be a little tough. Like we've seen, Khalil Shakir is not like the most reliable, but a player that could definitely have some weeks in there. So I agree. I think you'll probably be able to get him in the third round of your rookie drafts, considering the running back class, tight end class, etc. It's going to be a great dart throw there for you with Xavier Restrepo.
It'll be interesting to see if Cam Ward goes to Tennessee, if later on he's there and Cam Ward said, go get my guy.
Hopefully they have more success than the Bo Nix Troy Franklin setup.
Yes, seriously.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's a big whiff and a miss there on Troy Franklin. But it's not over yet. But either way, Colin, where can everybody find you if they have not listened to the beginning of the episode?
Yeah, I'm pretty active on Twitter. I refuse to call it anything else. So at Colin _MCT on Twitter. I am on Blue Sky. Blue Sky is kind of my copy and paste from Twitter, just because I know some people are specifically on Blue Sky. I don't discriminate there, so I'm pretty much copy and pasting. Sometimes I actually add a couple more words because you can on Blue Sky. And I have Blue Sky in light mode. Twitter is in dark mode because that's just kind of how it how it feels sometimes. And then all my work
side
now.
It's the force and the dark side there.
Yeah, that really is how it feels. All my work now, I'm happy to say, starting March 1st, is over at FTNFantasy.com. So find us both at FTN.
Yeah, excited to have you along. It's going to be a fun ride, I'll tell you that. Yeah. For sure. Follow Colin. Great insight. Excited to see what he has for content pumping out here as we head towards the NFL season, NFL draft right around the corner. Make sure you follow us, obviously, and then you follow FTN socials as well on all of the social platforms you can think of. That is at FTN Fantasy. And then make sure you like, review, and subscribe to the podcast. I would appreciate it. And then till next time, thank you for listening. Take care.